carpet day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Santa, you Mario!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. I'm all out of bubblegum.
He think he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
You don't give me my money tonight. I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out on the horse, boy.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action. And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. And 23 of them are already gone.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie So Bad the Good, Midnight Cult Classics and Camp, coming back at you with another one. I'm Ian, and with me is Ryan.
Hey Ian, how are you?
Yo, I'm good. Today we are covering your favorite movie.
Oh, the one favorite movie you guys just told me like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, Seth mm-hmm. just said that. Seth is here too. What's up, Seth?
Oh, I'm here. That's true.
Yo. So Ryan, what movie are we covering today, and why is it your favorite movie?
Well, the movie we're covering today is 1986's Howard the Duck.
Ooh.
Fancy. And the reason why it's my favorite movie because bestiality.
that sounds about right.
Which never actually took place in this movie.
I mean, it almost did. It like really almost did.
Only in my mind.
Yeah.
Of course, we gotta go straight to this. All right, let's get it out of the way.
The movie opens up with duck titties. I mean, come on now.
Which is so bizarre. Like, ducks don't lactate. They don't feed their young with milk. Why do they have breasts? Why?
Yeah, that's all real questions that we need answers to.
But then again, one answer we do get is that they have evolved into a humanoid species. So I guess somewhere in that evolution, they start lactating.
It all boils down to humans, right? Everything evolving into what we are, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is interesting. I'd say this movie is very ahead of its time in that way, because it's like with the whole, like, you know, alternate universes and stuff like that, which wasn't really like discussed much in, you know.
Well, that's not actually fair to say, because you're right. It wasn't really discussed or done in movies. But So I actually read the original source from like the 70s comic books that this character was based off of. And they are pulling directly from that source material a good bit. So like the Overlord, like evil villain, is kind of like a offshoot version from the original comics where there's like this sorcerer who's fighting the Overlord and pulls characters from the multiverse. And this is in the Marvel Comics of the 70s. And one of them happens to be Howard the Duck. I think it's like it's on random or something. There's something with the spell or whatever the wizard does. And in the process of fighting this Overlord villainous character, Howard the Duck in the comics gets knocked into the Earth realm. And that's how he gets stuck here, is that way.
That is so much better than what we got.
Yeah,
I don't think they could have explained it like that in movie form, especially if they're trying to get a wider audience.
Wait, because if they would have followed the comics specifically, the first time he meets Beverly in the comics is also with Spider-Man. So if they would have done this properly, they would have to involve Spider-Man and also the ultimate galactic accountant from the cosmic universe, who has the cosmic calculator, who needs the button to create the ultimate balance sheet to rule the universe. So that is actually the villain who has entrapped Beverly. That's the original comic story that we were robbed from this movie.
We were robbed.
I want to see the galactic accountant who has the cosmic calculator building, you know, the balance sheet for the universe.
Like, I wonder if MCU will eventually do that, because they did tease Howard the Duck many years ago.
Well, George Lucas is not going to give you a cosmic calculator.
You know, but you know what, though? That's Marvel Comics that has a cosmic calculator, not George Lucas. So, you know, to be fair, with all the weird ways Marvel Comics has gone, don't put it past us to get a galactic accountant.
the last Spider-Man movie did deal a bit with alternate universes, which I thought was really stupid, because they were like, here's another actor who played Spider-Man. I thought that was dumb. But a lot of people didn't. But so, like, they could probably do the, like, Howard the Duck, like, shows up accidentally and then Spider-Man helps him. I could see that.
They could do that. They probably wouldn't. But what they might do is some weird thing, like, because, like, if you look at the Howard the Duck, actually, so there's a character in this movie, I think it's Arthur, right? He's one of the scientist guys who, like, kind of seems like he might have a thing for Beverly, but they kind of write that off, too, in the movie. Is his name Arthur? You know who I'm talking about? Not the scientist guy who becomes the villain.
No, you're talking about guy. Tim Robbins' character.
Okay. Yeah. What was his name in the movie? Was it Arthur? Am I right about that?
I'm looking it up right now.
I feel like
it's Phil.
Phil, okay. Phil. You know what I'm confusing? No. I'm confusing it with the comic. So in the comic, there's a guy, Arthur, who has a crush on Beverly. And to my point of the weird things, there's like a space vegetable that has a consciousness that falls to Earth and makes a deal with Arthur in the comics that to give it this vegetable, I think it's like an onion or something. I forget. And he's like, I will give you my powers if you let me inhabit your body. And so he's like, yeah, because with your powers, I'll be super impressive and I can get Beverly. Like, she'll like me now. So there's galactic vegetables that have superpowers. They come to Earth and possess people. And, like, he ends up trying to take over Arthur, and they have to, like, I forgot if they had to kill Arthur in the comic or if they had to do something. And Arthur disappears. Like, he's not in the comics anymore. But yeah, the comics go very bizarre with, like, animals that become like monster creatures, or you name it, whatever. I mean, all that stuff. It's just weird, quirky things. It is kind of Deadpool-esque, but it's not as fourth wall breaking from the stuff I've read so far. But it is more like these weird, wacky paths that they take that's very silly, you know?
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing about this movie compared to the comic book, is that they're not having Howard the Duck in this movie as a superhero or as a comic character. They're having him as like he's like a foreign duck in a foreign place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just confused. He's like a caveman. It's like Encino Man, where he just wakes up and has no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
That's totally this movie. And everybody kinda just wants to fuck this duck.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there are quite a few people. Well, everybody wants to fuck it. Some people want to eat it. I mean, he does get seasoned at one point in the movie.
So. Yeah. And then at the end, when he does that sick guitar solo, I can only wonder what it would be like after that.
Well, you know, he has sick guitar solo skills. He has quack fu.
He did a duck walk on stage. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, he also has, is it quack fu? Is that what they called it?
Yeah.
Quack fu.
That's in the comics too, that he does quack fu.
I am so glad I did not do the duck pun drinking game like I did with Batman.
Yeah. Well, we
need to hear about this.
It's just that, you know, and I thought Batman and Robin had so many freeze puns. This had so many fucking duck puns. It was insane.
There was Quack Poo, and he did a duck walk at the end when he... Y'all are familiar with the duck walk, right?
Well, they did a couple little duck jokes. I mean, there was all the duck... There was like his license was just a duck pun. Like his literal license.
Oh my God. Like his
cards and stuff. His
name was Howard T. Duck. Really, his last name is Duck. That's like my last name being human. ENT human.
Yeah.
What were the cards he had? Yeah, he had, it was pretty funny. What was it? It was like a poultry card or something? I don't know.
It was a bunch of like duck. It was basically a bunch of like duck-ish like puns. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
Like barns and duckles or something. Like just like different things like that. Like they just inserted duck. Or
that,
quack
that was really
or
good.
Something
that,
like that.
And, that you know. That part made me laugh. That was good. I would like to switch gears real quick, and we'll come back to this. But you mentioned the comic, so. The other day, I looked into the origins of Howard the Duck, and mm-hmm. So you read the comic, so you definitely know he looks quite different in the comic than he does in this. And which, by I mean, he looks exactly like Donald the Duck in the comic, or at least the original incarnation was.
He's actually. Well, I think the problem with this though is they actually got like a small person to actually play in the costume.
Yeah, which I thought they did a really okay. So the effect, special effects, including the mm-hmm. little person in the costume, that was spot. That dude, that was so good. I was really impressed by that.
But it made him like a little, almost like thicker or whatever than like you're saying in the comics. He does come off a little more like slimmer. He also has a little more attitude. Then he does, I feel like in the movie, he kind of has something of it, but the comics kind of give him more of a, like a Donald the Duck thing where things like kind of always like aggravating and he's always bitching about shit like Donald the Duck does.
Right.
It's kind of more similar to that. The one thing I note that I didn't see is he does actually have kind of a superpower in a sense in the comics. Not really? A superpower, but like an ability. He's a crack shot. Like he has a great aim. Like he can shoot anything, like just like direct aim. Like he has he's a good shot, and they didn't really use that at all.
Well, it's kind of a PG. It's PG.
He didn't have to do a gun though. You could have just done like he like could throw a rock or whatever. And for PG, there was a lot of shit. And dude, he went to like a fucking brothel that was disguised as a fucking like you really got close to showing titties at one point.
We'll get back to this because that's definitely another point I want to bring up of how like non-PG this PG movie is. But the point I wanted to make before was he looks exactly like Donald Duck. Not just like his body shape or like the color. Like he's got the same face. He's got the same body. He's got the same color. Mm-hmm. But he also has the same clothes. It's not the same clothes. He's not wearing a sailor's uniform, but he's got a blue jacket with a little blue hat. Just like Donald.
I'm not sure. Let me see. That might be an image you saw.
That was at least the original incarnation.
I'm pulling up the comic, actually. I'm going to pull up. Yes, you're right. So in the first comic, I'm looking here on the page. On the first one, he's got a blue suit with like a red tie and a blue hat, which is very
reminiscent
of Donald the Duck. Yeah. And no pants. So yeah,
here's what happened. Disney sued them, or at least threatened to sue Marvel. And so the head people at Marvel, they were like, all right, you gotta change up Donald the Duck so we don't get sued. I mean, we could like actually fight them on this, but it's not worth it. So you're just gonna, like they said to, you know, the creator, you're just gonna have to, you know, change them all up. And the creator was so pissed about this. Like, he was like, man, this is bullshit. They're making me change my idea. And I'm reading about this. I'm like, dude, you completely ripped off Donald the Duck. Like, what are you complaining about? Like, if you put them side by side, I wouldn't really know the difference. One has a cigar. That's what it is. So, so it's definitely a huge ripoff. So I definitely wanted to bring that up before anything, really. And so, like, they made him, like, put on pants and shit. And so that's why in this movie, why he's got, like, pants and stuff, and he's not wearing the same uniform, basically.
He's actually all brown and stuff in the movie, right? Like, like a brown suit. You know, it's definitely away from the blue colors a good bit.
I do like how his tail, he has, like, a hole for his tail.
It's kind of funny that now Disney owns that character now. So I guess he could go back to the movie if he wanted.
Right? Yeah. So if they do bring him back, he might have the original, but maybe not. Maybe they still want to distance him from Donald.
Well, they kind of brought him back a bit. I think he did some What If. There was an episode of the What If, which
was for
Marvel, where they did some stuff with Howard the Duck in it. And then, of course, he had a bunch of cameos in almost all the Guardians movies.
Yeah, so, I just remembered the first one.
He was in the other ones too, but like cameos. Yeah. He had cameos in the other ones. And then
he was voiced by...
I don't remember who he was voiced by.
It was Seth Green.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. In the Marvel movies? Speaking lines, then not much.
At the post-credit scene after of Guardians of the Galaxy, it's a voice by Seth Green.
Interesting. Okay. You don't really see him much anymore these days.
And he does a lot more voice work, I think, nowadays. I think he's still running around doing some voice work stuff. He might be
Having off fame. Every TV show he happens to touch, it falls apart. So, you know, stick to voice acting.
Well, Robot Chicken and Family Guy were very successful for many years.
Live action.
He's talking about live action stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see the show Fathers?
Oh.
Yeah.
He says, "Oh."
All right. Okay. So, let's. Yeah, okay, so this is a PG movie. It's rated PG.
This was the 80s, though, right? So, like, a lot of PG movies were actually sometimes PG-13, because there's, like, James Bond movies that are PG. Yeah. That have, I would say, similar type material than what we saw here.
It definitely was fucked up, because it opens up with duck tits. And then he goes, and you don't see, like, actual human full nudity, but it is teased.
No. I mean, you do see Leah Thompson in her fucking underwear.
That's true too. You get, like, a real long shot of her just bent over and, like, all around the bed in her underwear.
And mind you, guys, this is 1 year after Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. 1 year.
You know what's interesting?
Go ahead.
Well, what's interesting is, like, when we're talking about this, like, how it's rated in like the stuff in this. So apparently at this time, George Lucas had just built the $50 million Skywalker Ranch complex, and he was counting on this film to get him back in the black. So when it bombed, he had to sell all his assets to stay afloat. So Steve Jobs, that's when he offered to buy the new CGI animation division that Lucas was building, which ended up becoming Pixar Animation Studios.
Oh.
But what's interesting is he looked at this film, at this script, and was like, this is going to help me build back the $50 million I just spent. This film. I don't see how you read a script like this and are like, yeah, this is going to be it.
It's not, and it wasn't.
You really depend on like the heavy hitting names that he had attached to this movie to really push this forward. Because speaking about 007, I mean, did y'all see who was doing the score for this?
Mm-mm. I did not.
John Barry.
Really?
John Barry did the theme for 007.
Interesting. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Did the score for this movie.
He did have some people in there. What you were getting to, Ian?
So the reason why this movie failed is because it doesn't really know what it wants to be and doesn't really know its audience. Like, it is through and through a kid's movie. It's an adventure movie. It's so similar to many others, but then there's just all these adult things, you know, like the nudity and the sex. And
actually, I would say this is an adult movie that execs came through and took out enough stuff to make it seem like a kid's movie. Like, this was an adult movie. Oh, it seems like a kid's movie. And this, to me, this is an adult movie that got edited down.
I mean, sure. To a kid's
movie. Because I feel like there was probably more in-depth scenes and maybe the brothel scene that was actually like a freaking, what is it, spa? It was like supposed to be like a spa thing, but everybody's fucking in there.
It's a bathhouse.
But here's the thing.
There is a duck condom joke in here where she literally pulled out a duck
condom. And it was tiny.
Tiny.
But the thing I'm talking about, like the story, the plot, like all it has like adult jokes on a kid's story. Because like I was watching this movie and like everything about like the whole thing, like you know, the guy who gets possessed by the demon and they mm-hmm. go and all that, it was all just so kiddie, and I was just bored the whole movie. I was like, this movie's fucking stupid.
Because we
had to, if I was a kid, I would enjoy it.
We had to embody the idea that Howard the Duck is like a kid in the adult world, and of course the adult scientist is the bad guy, and all this stuff around him is very confusing to him.
You know, the real bad guy was a police, am I right? Another thing that made this movie ahead of its time was the ACAB about it. Like,
what was really ahead of its time was Jeffrey Jones being the bad guy.
Well, he's always the bad guy. But I mean, sorry, I get the joke that you were trying to make.
I wasn't joking.
I'm on a different take on y'all on that. I don't know if I technically agree as much about the kid. Like, yes, there are kid movies that center around this kind of concept of this was like it's. It's one of these complicated things because when you're also talking about things like ahead of its time and before its time. And I would argue nowadays, too, there's a lot of comic book movies. That story of person like fish out of water that mm-hmm. comes in and ends up saving a town. You can paint that as a kid's movie. You can paint that as an adult rated R movie. Like, you could go both ways with it depending on things you put into it. And in this, it felt like it was wanting to be an adult movie with a basic theme because it's pulling from a comic book. But even the comic book itself, the regular material, wasn't necessarily geared towards kids. The earlier stuff, kind of, but my understanding from how Howard the Duck became, it became more of an adultish type comic in the vein of like a Deadpool.
It's kind of like Spawn, too.
Exactly.
Well, this adult thing handled just for kids.
Because, I mean, you also have, like, the villain is a demon-possessed person. right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's two ways of looking at that, too. Yes, exactly. I mean, his tongue comes out and goes into the car charger to power him up. In an arguably grotesque scene, especially for, like, kids, yeah. Right?
No, like, so here's the thing, is that, like, you're making all these great points. The thing is that it's, like, the basic, like, backbone, the story, and the especially the way it's directed and everything, is totally kid-friendly, and then they threw in a bunch of adult jokes and other things in there. Like, they're sprinkled in. It's, like, it's a kid's movie with adult things sprinkled in.
Yeah, I would almost say it's not even sprinkled in, though. It's, like, on the side. It's, like, the steak, the steak you're having is maybe the kids. It's, like, this is a kid's burger. But this is like fucking broccoli and shit as a side. Like, this is like something that, like, you know, an adult would probably order than a kid. Like, it's more than just the seasoning. Like, a seasoning of adult jokes is early Disney cartoons that would have little tongue in cheek things that were like jokes. That's like a seasoning. This,
I mean, it was definitely on the nose for sure.
That's what I mean. Like, the biggest one I would say is when you literally pull out a condom, like a used condom out of the wallet. Like, that's not tongue in cheek and like a seasoning. That is like, and a Playboy magazine with duck titties, and then
so that exactly is why it failed, because it's like it doesn't know who its audience is, because adults, especially at that time, didn't want to see this crap.
That you also have to understand my perception of this movie is that when I first saw this movie, I was a kid.
Yeah. Dude,
wait, let's talk about that. When did you know when I first saw this movie?
When?
In middle school. A teacher put this movie on.
What?
When I was like in eighth grade.
Oh,
and that was my first experience.
Nobody. I saw this movie in the second grade.
Yeah, in school, like your teacher put it on.
Yeah,
yeah. What? I'm not surprised either.
That's insane. I
we also used to have HBO too, so it was on HBO, and my mom recorded it on VHS. So I had this movie when I was a kid. So that was my perception of it.
I was already, I think. I must have been 24 first time I saw it, and like I was really drunk when I saw it with my roommate. He was like, "Oh, dude, I saw this when I was a kid." So also, shout out to Jake. He also saw it when he was a kid, but he showed it to me, and like it was hilarious. It was definitely like kind of a stoner comedy, like it kind of turned into that. But like when I watched it today, man, I was so bored by it. Like, I mean, there were all the adult jokes, which I appreciated, but everything outside of that, I was just like, man, this is dumb.
Yeah, it meanders a lot. Like the movie, like half the movie, you almost feel like it doesn't even have a point. Like when I was watching it too, I was kind of like, what's the point? We don't get to any real sense of like urgency of anything until almost the last third of the movie, where then they're like, "Oh, remember that you came from a different universe and stuff? Yeah, well, now there's a demon thing that came through in some turn of events with lasers and shit, and we've got to solve that problem. And apparently this is a very powerful thing that all gets kind of crammed into like the last third
of the movie. And nobody takes them seriously and shit. And they're like traveling around with them. They're like, why are you being weird? And that's where it especially feels like a kid's movie, because it's just him he's just talking like this, and I'm just, you know, I'm an evil entity, and nobody's taking him seriously. They go to a restaurant and the waitress sees like nothing wrong with any of this. And that's where it's really a kid's movie. And then they go on an adventure, you know?
That was the other thing too, where like this movie also does a thing where like some people are not fazed at all by a walking, talking duck.
Well, they think some it's people, like a costume,
their minds explode. You know, like it's just it's a very diverse reaction to this, and it's like And then there's like one where they like literally season and are about to cook him in a diner. But it's like, this thing is walking and talking. It's a miracle of science. And your thought is to eat it? To eat this? You don't even know what the fuck it is. It's walking and talking. Yeah. And like has clothes on. This duck has clothes on, has a girlfriend, and a strange guy that's talking all weird. Like, what?
Why is it very mature? You... And yeah.
Yeah. But your thing is like, let's cook it and put salt on it and stuff and see how it tastes. Like, it's just, it's so bizarre. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that just like, it just doesn't make sense and add up. Yeah, and it's funny when you read the comic too, because the comics is just, and I guess that's probably why it came out this way, because the comics are just as bizarre and almost nonsensical. Like, I was reading the comics, I was just interested. It's such a weird character I've heard so much about. And the early comics kind of are like this film. They're bizarre, they're kind of meandering, and they don't really feel like they have much of a purpose. And they really aren't that entertaining, at least in the beginning sets. There's, because it's, I guess if you were in depth, entrenched into Marvel lore and things like that, because Howard the Duck's first appearance is somebody else's comic that he pops into, and he gets kicked into the universe.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, so they, like, killed him off, and then, like, fans got so pissed off. And one of them sent Marvel, they like mailed a dead duck to Marvel. They were like, this is what I think about you killing off Howard the Duck.
So true they story. Ended up doing a comic run of it, right? In the early ones, because there's an omnibus that I bought. It was like on deal. And I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I'm kind of curious about Howard the Duck. So I bought it. And it's like the first issue popped up in, which is not even his comic. And then it's like a whole bunch of his early comics. And they do kind of play out this movie where it is like, because after he gets, like he literally just wandering around the street and ends up in this evil accountant's home. That's the accountant of the universe. And for some reason he has Beverly tied up and she's like in a bikini tied up in the house. Right. He sends them to a different universe, like a different multiverse area, to go find some button he needs for his calculator. And when they come back, before he can use whatever this cosmic calculator is, Spider-Man comes in. It's like, what the fuck is this? Like, Spider-Man comes in and saves, but Spider-Man was always the vehicle I feel like Marvel leaned on to try and prop up other books. So you would see Spider-Man come into other people's shit because it's like, hey, Spider-Man. And that's like literally issue one or two of Howard the Duck is like a Spider-Man intro. And then when Howard, I think it's the second issue of Howard's like run, as he runs into Spider-Man and he meets Beverly all in his time. And now he's living with Beverly and he kind of assumes this role as a detective, but not really.
And he's a private eye.
He kind of, but he's not really taking cases. Cause like in some of the like in the books, like there's another one where he's like on the bus, and I guess it's a trans woman, but I'm not sure. Because it's somebody in a dress that clearly looks like it's supposed to be a big chunky dude with like a wig on and a pink dress, and is complaining that somebody kicked him in the kidneys, or her, whatever the person is, and then like it's just complaining about kidney damage. And Howard the Duck's like, what? And he's like, you gotta be careful. You could destroy your kidneys. It's so fucking bonkers. And I kind of get, like, if they were just looking at some of that stuff, there wasn't really much direction from the comics to really deliver some kind of story. So I'm assuming that's where we fall apart at in this movie, if you get where I'm going at with. Right.
Well, yeah, because the studio is thinking that not only are we supposed to have, you know, the action from the comics, they also figure like we have to shoehorn some like, you know, there was a lot of times where they like mentioned a lot of things that we know from comics, and they also needed like drama, they needed horror, they needed all kind of comedy, they needed all of that in this movie to bring in that audience. And I know one of the things that stuck out to me is when they name dropped Conan, as in, you know, Conan the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's around the time Marvel got the rights to Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, shit.
And of course, there was a lot. There was even a part where I forgot what was his cutie name he was given to Tim Robbins. Filzy, he was calling him.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he called him Filzy, and then there's a section in the movie where he's just when he first meets Howard, and he goes, "When you look up, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's a duck." and it's like, I was like, okay, how many more, you know, comic themes are they gonna try and throw in this movie that you're even going to notice?
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to have Easter eggs, they're trying to have stuff like that, but it's almost as if this movie is not that interesting to really pay notice to it. Because it's throwing everything at you at once. Like, dude, like, you were talking about the diner. Did anybody notice that it was a Cajun sushi diner? and the thing is, everybody wore these bonsai bandanas.
That's true. I didn't even think about that until you just said it.
And the thing is, I just noticed the duck joke where it's supposed to be a Japanese-infused Cajun place, and that's why they were chopping up the duck. And there was not a single, I don't think there was a single Asian person in that place.
And they also just served him like eggs and bacon and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Just some like boring ass shit. So both of you guys, you're from New Orleans. So you tell me what would a Cajun sushi... Like, what is Cajun sushi? I know it doesn't exist, obviously. But no, if
you had Cajun sushi, you would probably do something like, you would probably have like crawfish, shrimp, things like that, which already kind of come with sushi.
There are places in New Orleans that that have like Cajun themed. Like, there's a sushi roll called the New Orleans roll.
Yeah, they do that. There's a New Orleans roll. There's a Cajun roll. Those things are kind of infused because Cajun food, typically, when you say Cajun food, you're talking a lot about seafood in general, and Japanese food is also seafood. So they actually do kind of meld together fairly well. It's just the type of seasonings and stuff like that. Yeah, the seasonings and stuff like that is really good.
It would be like a crawfish bowl, but on rice. I guess.
Kind of. I mean, well, actually, more so with Cajun food, it's a lot of times more like soupy. It's kind of like Cajun dishes.
Like gumbo.
Yeah, something like that.
Imagine a sushi roll that has like fried shrimp with spicy tempura with Tony Sashori seasoning put on it.
A lot of seasoning and spices.
A lot of seasoning with like you were talking about chili pepper, cayenne pepper, like things that are like kind of spice it up a bit is kind of what blends into like a Tony Sashori, your salt and your pepper and, you know, things like that. And really the cayenne and chili pepper and maybe paprika.
Yeah, it's like, how was that not the special? When they brought it out, it was literally like eggs and bacon.
But it is this is where it is strange that you would have a diner like that in Cleveland, because they're in Cleveland, and so I feel like that would be a little strange to have such a Cajun influence themed restaurant in Cleveland.
I feel like the only thing that was deliberately Asian about that place is the fact they wanted to chop up the duck.
It is just a straight up diner. It's just named it. Like, it is something I've never seen before. A sushi joint that looks like a fucking 60s diner.
There's nothing sushi about it, and there was nothing Cajun about it.
You know, there was something about this movie that made me laugh so hard, and it's only because of the last episode we did for this podcast.
Yeah, because this is the prequel to that movie, right?
Exactly, especially when Tim Robbins first shows up, and he comes in and starts talking like the duck, and all I thought about was, I'm like, oh god, it's New York Ripper all over again.
I didn't even think about that. So the reason why we're doing this is because we just did New York Ripper, and we're like, well, we might as well do the prequel, because Seth was all like, yeah, Howard the Duck was the killer the whole time. And we were like, all right. And Tim Robbins did do that. He was like trying to like get down to Howard's level, and which
there's even the scene where he meets him again. He goes, oh, hey, Howard. Wagga, 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 wagga. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
It's like Howard has to deal with like fucking racism in a way. Like, not hatred racism, but like where people just assume he's stupid. Because he's a duck.
Yes. I think Tim Robbins tried to think that he understood him because he tried to, you know, quack like a duck.
Yeah.
I will say, though, out of all the actors and actresses here, I would say Leah Thompson's performance actually felt like somebody who was really trying to give a performance.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
Like, amongst everybody else who felt like maybe some of the actors felt a little stilted, or actually, shout out to who was the guy in the club when he was getting the band's money back? Howard, that was the Koopa from Mario Bros. He was one of the
Koopas. Oh, that's why it looked familiar.
Mm-hmm. And
he's one of the Koopas from Mario Bros.
And he's also one of the guys from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which also has Jeffrey Jones.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I felt like with this movie, with having Jeffrey Jones, it's like, okay, I need you to channel, you know, your character from Ferris Bueller. And Leah Thompson's like, well, what do I do? Convince us you really want to fuck that duck.
Other movie this reminded me of? Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yes. Like, I've never seen a movie where Denise Richards really wanted to fuck that T-Rex.
Oh, and she did.
I mean, she really channeled her Leah Thompson in that fucking movie.
I feel like at the end of this movie, Leah Thompson, I think, kind of channeled Michael J. Fox a bit with the whole guitar playing and shit like that at the end on the concert.
Is a year coming off of Back to the Future.
Yeah, so right after, she's basically channeling that performance in this performance. Because at the end, when they're all doing those riffs and playing the guitar and doing that last concert thing, it really made me think of him going in at the dance and Back to the Future with the guitar and playing for everyone. And I was like, oh yeah, this feels like she's like, yeah, I'll just do that for this.
Does anybody know who did all the music for this movie?
No. I do know she did some of it, though, I believe, right? Didn't she sing some of this?
She sang it, but do you know who wrote all the music for this movie?
Didn't you just say the guy with the James Bond guy?
No, he did the score.
Ah, okay, my bad. So who did
but the all the music, like the Howard the Duck song, the songs that she sang in the movie, was Thomas Colby.
Who?
The guy who sings Blinded Me with Science.
I don't know.
He's an 80s synthesizer dude who was actually in this movie. When Howard the Duck approaches the manager, there's a guy, a random guy with a black hat and this like thinish black mustache who doesn't really do anything, but just he's in shock and awe when Howard the Duck attacks him. And I'm like, oh, hey, that's the guy from Rockula. Thomas Dolby.
Okay. You know, speaking of the manager, first of all, I love how Howard the Duck is just like going after him for the money. It, like, the dude is, like, stealing 100% of the money that the band is making. And yeah, they're, like, joking like, about it.
I am curious about how she's surviving with all that money being taken from her. Like,
and they're just letting that happen, too. But, yeah, so well, look at this club they're in. It's like...
Or the club that looks like Class of 84, but yet it's like poppy music?
Yeah, yeah. It's got the fence, which is very industrial. Like, yeah. And so they're like in this hole-in-the-wall industrial club that's like... got pretty low, but when Howard takes over and becomes the new manager, they're playing at like a big, huge concert venue. After that, like, he really upgraded them.
Yeah, because at this point, being a hero, it's kind of hard to say no to a duck.
It's true.
Because it's true. Like, you know, like the band itself, like, boosted after that.
Because this whole movie, there's not really much that Howard the Duck is doing where there's any real consequence for him.
The point I'm making is that the first time you see them playing, they're playing for like 40 people. Then at the end, they're playing for 400 people.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty big jump. I mean, whatever he did to get them that, like, it's pretty amazing. Like, he should, yeah, everybody should be wanting him to be the manager if you can get him to get venues like that.
He goes on stage and plays guitar, and they're true. Playing a song about him, and everybody's loving it.
Because everybody seems to know about this duck. Like, this is now public knowledge.
Yeah. And for some reason, none of them are in jail because they just, like, dude, they broke the law so hard in this movie. Like, like, they kidnapped a cop and shit.
Well, that really goes back to the fact that, no, like you guys are saying, nobody really cared that he was a duck. Look at the woman at the unemployment office.
That was pretty great. Yeah, that scene. And then he was about to bite her ass. Like, he was, like, turned on by her bending over, and he was just like,
ah. I didn't know ducks got down like that. I was like,
yes, I feel like she was the only one in this movie that knew he was a duck, but didn't care because she was so disgruntled with her job.
She didn't care.
Yeah, it gave him the job to go work at the fucking brothel / spa, massage spa parlor.
Like, so she was so efficient at her job. She's like, I don't give a fuck that you're a duck. I'm going to get you a job.
She's good at her job.
You're like, no shit, man. Fuck. No, I think my favorite thing about this movie was I was watching it. And so Dallas comes into the room and she's like, wait. Is this Howard the Duck? I was like, yeah. She goes, you know, I've never seen this movie, but I've heard things about it. I'm like, cool. Well, you just got in the right time. She goes, what do you mean? Because Leah Thompson's about to fuck that duck. And she's like, no, he's not. I'm like, yeah, he is. No, and she's like, and all of a sudden her jaw drops. And she goes, oh my God, what year was this made? I was like, 1986. Who does movies like this? I was like, George Lucas. She goes, what the fuck is wrong with him? And she's like yelling at me, like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And she just watches the scene and she goes, oh my God. She's really about to fuck that duck.
It is extremely inappropriate.
Dude, she was on her phone texting and like on Facebook, and then she just started watching the movie. She's like, oh my God. She's like, I was like, do they know how ducks fuck? I was just like, yeah. And this is about to happen. She's just like, no fucking way. She's like, wait, is that? I'm like, Leah Thompson? Leah Thompson's going to fuck that duck? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry, though. He wears condoms.
So I was like, he's got a duck on him. And she's like, what the fuck? So I rewinded the movie, showed her the duck condom. She goes, oh my gosh, she's like, this is really fucking happening. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
And you know, what makes it even more fucked up is that he keeps saying no, and she just keeps pushing.
Well, she actually, right at the end, she's like, I'm just kidding too. She tries to like say like, they both try to do the I'm joking thing, right? They both are like, I'm just joking. It's like, no, y'all about to fuck.
I feel really bad for the character because I feel like her growing up there, she really didn't have no real connection with men or boys growing up to be like, you know what? I'll just go for a duck. Fuck it.
That's true. You know, I actually have a question. He constantly uses the threat of biting people. Do ducks like have a bite?
Gooses do.
Yes.
Or geese, I mean.
Yeah. He also seems that, like, he definitely would have bit Leah Thompson's ass, I guess, because he definitely seems to be turned on by big old rumps. If it's the black lady to get him a job or Leah Thompson.
And that was the problem. Leah Thompson did not have a big old rump.
No.
If there was at any point while she was like grabbing the bowl, like a saucer bowl to get him milk, she turned around and she had a big old juicy hiney, then they would have just fucked. But the fact that she did not, it was just like, wow, he really only gives a fuck about big asses.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we discover about him.
He loves them black queens out there, you know?
I just think he likes asses in general. There was even that part where he's working at the bathhouse and he sees his boss like bent over. And then he like, right when he sees that ass, he like runs to it and pushes him into the fucking the mud tub. And I'm like, this duck loves asses.
It's an ass.
He's a genuine ass.
Oh shit.
So if the MCU did do a Howard the Duck movie, would it be R-rated, you think? You think it would be like the next
Deadpool? I think now it might be. I think so. Because now that they took Deadpool and they're doing an R-rated Deadpool movie with Wolverine, right? I think if that goes over well, I think there might be a possibility where we might actually get an R-rated Howard the Duck movie. I do think that we might now. But before this, like early MCU, if they would have done it, it'd have been like PG-13.
All right, so I believe this is going to go one of two ways. One, we're going to get that R-rated Howard the Duck movie that a lot of people are going to bitch about thinking it's a remake or a reboot, but it's not. Or we're going to get some dumbed-down Disney Plus TV series that everybody's going to bitch about.
I don't think they do a series with this. I think if they even do it, it's just an R-rated, off-to-the-side like kind of movie. And it's going to be like, you know, fairly low budget, just something to feel it out.
Or he could do a cameo on Deadpool, maybe. Like,
well, he's already done kind of cameos on Guardians, right? So, I mean, it's really
like credit scene and all of that. Like, because like this new Deadpool movie, he joins the MCU, I think it looks like, right? Like,
he doesn't just join the MCU, they literally have Fox, like the Fox logo in the dirt outside. Like they're breaking the fourth wall in a very huge way from the trailer shows. So anything could go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If he pops up in Deadpool, we're getting an R-rated version of Howard the Duck for sure. He's probably going to drop an F-bomb and like whatever. Like we're going
to
get
right because I think that would probably be the best way to handle him. Is like Not like throughout the movie, but like maybe show up for a scene or something, because Deadpool will be like he's crossing into a new universe, right? Like that's what the trailer looks like. Is that he's actually so, and that's what Howard the Duck does. So
that to work efficiently, they at least have to wait for Deadpool to come out and then be successful at the box office, which it will. And then that's the perfect time. And I don't even think just for Howard the Duck. I'm even thinking that's how they can bring even other comic series like The Mask. That would be best too, to start bringing shit like just the idea of it, of bringing it back.
Well, I think things like The Mask, I think that's already been done though, Ryan. I think the groundwork for adult comics and stuff, like I think that we already live in a landscape in movies and stuff to where we can actually get like an actual honest representation of the mask comic in movies. And I think it would go over okay if done well, right? Like, I think we are in that space. The question for me, more or less, to Ian's point, is would Disney do it? Because I don't think Disney has the rights to the mask. Do they?
Well no, I just mean...
Whoever does have the rights to the mask, I think it's open for them to do an R-rated version and to do it like the actual comics.
Dark Horse.
Disney. Yeah, yeah.
Miramax and Dark Horse, I believe.
Yes. So yeah, I think that exists. Would Disney do R-rated Howard the Duck is the question. I think that's really actually is a decent question, because I think it could go both ways. They could stick to PG-13, but I think what Ian kind of proposed here is like Deadpool could be a vehicle where they introduce as a cameo Howard the Duck in an R-rated tone, and then you can spin out a movie with him if you want it. But the other question is, with all the scaling back Marvel's doing, because they wasted so much money on Disney Plus and all these shows that are getting mediocre responses and everything like that, would they put the money in for Howard the Duck when there's so many other things to do?
Yeah, I think that would be too much.
That's where I think, no. I don't know if we ever get a full feature Howard the Duck.
I think it depends. It's going to have to depend on how the multiple Deadpool movies go down the road.
Well, I don't even know if it depends on that. I think it really depends on if fans really push the notion for it, because we got teased it in the Guardians movies, right? This is where I would say, this is how I say you get a Howard the Duck movie. If James Gunn is like, you know what? I know I'm doing my DC thing, but Marvel's offering me a bunch of money for a movie idea, and I want to do Howard the Duck. And James Gunn says, I want to do Howard the Duck. That's how that gets done. Marvel's going to be like, yeah, James Gunn, you print money for us, so sure, you could do Howard the Duck. And because I think the only person who'd want to do it and not like would want to do it and would have enough cachet to get Disney or whoever to pay for it would be James Gunn, because he's already teased it and introduced it in Guardians. So I think that way it could happen, but I don't know if we just get it off. Even if Deadpool's super successful, there's other things to do, like Blade. Like Blade's got to get
it. Oh yeah, they've been talking about doing R rated.
Well, yeah, it's been pushed back.
Because they like scrapped all the script, and so, and I know they've been trying to pivot Blade into PG-13, but I think to your point, Ryan, if Deadpool's successful, we might get an R-rated Blade, and I think that's more what we might get first.
Yeah,
I don't know if Deadpool. I think Deadpool makes it easier for Disney to put money towards an R-rated Howard the Duck for sure. I think it does play a role.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it's the exact pathway to get R-rated Howard the Duck.
I mean, everything's kind of just up in the air at this point, especially if even without the presence of James Gunn, that they're showing us like at the end of the third Guardians, the new Guardians team, and are talking about a Star-Lord TV series. All that's really up in the air.
It is up in the air. And actually, Howard the Duck did pop up in Avengers Endgame too. There's a quick scene of him running out fighting with all the Avengers and everything against Thanos. There's like a little Howard the Duck guy coming out. So
it's gonna come down to how bad people are gonna want it. And
yeah.
Keith and then Kevin Feige is gonna have to listen to what the fans want.
There was talk of them doing a Squirrel Girl movie, you know, or a show, one of those.
A who girl?
Squirrel Girl.
Don't worry. Girl.
She's a fairly kind of like has a cult following type character. She's fairly popular.
She's new.
She's new and her books are like comical, like silly, funny type things, because it's the humor. Her superpower is like the ability to control squirrels, so it's like it's kind of a silly thing. But her comics actually do, and her comics do actually have a cult following. There is like there were like ruminations of her getting a movie. So right. I mean, look, if that's happening too, I mean, Howard the Duck is definitely in the talks, especially when it. You know what's really odd to me is this like the first? What is this the first live action Marvel movie? Howard the Duck.
Well, there was Captain America.
Well,
that was 90s.
Well, it is like one of the first full length or film movies where Captain America was a TV movie.
Yeah, like this is like the first feature film hit theaters. Yeah.
By a well-known name as such as George Lucas.
Yeah.
What about the Rocket Man guy?
I don't think that's name? Marvel. The Rocketeer?
The Rocketeer.
Yeah, Rocketeer. I thought that was Marvel.
I don't think so.
Even if it is Marvel, which I believe it's not, the Rocketeer was in the early 90s.
Yeah, that was also 90s. Yeah.
I mean, if we're counting Captain America, then we have to also throw in like the TV movies of
1991 Rocketeer.
Yeah, so we also have to throw in the TV movies of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. That was the 70s, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it was a TV show, but yeah. Dude, that was such a dumb TV show. I'm just going to go into this rant right now. have y'all seen the Incredible Hulk TV show?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen multiple episodes?
Yes.
They're all the same. They're exactly the same. Like, he goes into a new town, and then something happens. Like, a kid almost gets hit by a car because they're, like, playing in the street. So he hulks out, saves the kid, and then they're like, holy shit, you just did that. And he's like, all right, don't tell anybody. And then later, like, that kid is in danger again and hulks out again. And then he leaves town, and then he goes hitchhikes to a new town. And that's the premise for every single episode.
No, besides the episode where they brought Thor in, there's an episode where this other guy becomes a Hulk-like character, and that's the actor who years later plays, I think, in Wes Craven's Swamp Thing. Yeah, something for you to sit on.
So, here, I looked up that thing about The Rocketeer was not created by Marvel, but Marvel sued Stevens, who created The Rocketeer, because they created a gang of super criminals called The Rocketeers in 1975. And so they were actually involved in a lawsuit with Marvel. And he tried to fight it for years. And I don't know if it ever, I don't think it ever got under Marvel. They just finally ended the suit after years. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rocketeer was just one of those obscure comic book characters, like the Shadow and the Phantom.
And they had their cycle where they all got movies. The Phantom, which there is actually probably so a movie many. You should cover on here too. Actually,
which one?
The Phantom.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing.
I was actually fucking thinking the Shadow, but yeah, we could do the Phantom. We could do
both. Shadow too. You should do both of them at some point. You know, it doesn't have to be all together, but both of those.
Long story short, there was even a point where my Dallas wanted to watch The Phantom. So I ordered it for her to watch on Amazon Prime. We went halfway through the movie. She goes, "This is not the movie I remembered." I'm like, "This is The Phantom." And she goes, "No." She's like, "That's Billy Zane. That's not who I'm thinking of." I'm like, "Who?" She goes, "Alec Baldwin."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Son of a bitch."
Yeah.
How dare you besmirch Billy Zane?
I was like, "Do you mean The Shadow?" She goes, "Yes." So she made me stop The Phantom, and she made me buy
it. She didn't finish watching it.
You know what? First of all, Ryan, what the story you just said is highly disrespectful. And I think you need to apologize to Billy Zane for putting this out in the air for his work on The Phantom. It was fantastic.
Hey.
Second of all, I do not completely fault your girlfriend, because The Shadow and Alec Baldwin is also fantastic. That performance is something. The Shadow.
You know, I never saw The Shadow.
You never did? Oh my god.
Did you not collect the action figures either?
No, I got the action figure. Don't worry about it.
You never saw The fucking Shadow. You never seen Sir Ian McKellen's one of his greatest performances?
Really? I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
so first of all, I didn't have to apologize to Billy Zane at all, because I'm the one who wanted to finish the fucking Phantom. She did not. She made me buy the movie on Amazon Prime.
Dude, not only was it a movie, it's
The Shadow, and then she made me buy The fucking Shadow.
There was an animated movie of The Phantom that came out after the film Phantom, the live action film. There was an animated movie that came out that was like in the future with The Phantom.
Yeah, there was a cartoon series as well.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's so funny of how the 90s was so full of just random superhero movies or comic book movies.
It's 80s and 90s too. I mean, look, Howard the Duck, The Punisher.
Yeah.
It's very odd that those are like the properties that got live action films before, like your Captain Avengers America and stuff, or Spider-Man. And I assume, like, Howard the Duck is really the Punisher. I actually kind of get, because with the Punisher, you could take that film and you don't have to worry too much about budget. It's guns and like people fighting, right? You don't have like a budget constraint for special effects.
Yeah, put it in an action star in the role of Frank Castle. And I guess
in the '80s, wasn't a thing with things like, I don't know, like let's say the Gremlins, or like a number of little movies in the '80s that came out with like these kind of puppet like special effects.
Right.
And stuff
And
I'm assuming that probably birthed Howard the Duck came to be so early on, because it is an odd property.
To get
like a live action treatment so early on, it's really weird. It always struck me as odd.
But I do love to think, with the success of Deadpool movies that are coming along the line, that we are going to get faithful adaptations of these comic book movies, like Tank Girl, Barbed Wire, The Phantom, The Shadow. That we're going to get even The Mask. We're going to get these really on-spot, faithful adaptations, because that's what comic book fans like myself are going to want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one interesting thing about this, there's a couple of interesting things about this movie. It's pretty funny, because this movie caused a lot of problems. Like, people lost, like, the director of this movie, like, never directed a movie again, like, after this. Because his other movie before this was a bomb. There's some funny facts on here. Following a test screening of Howard the Duck, Universal executive Sid Sheinberg and Frank Price were allegedly arguing about who was to blame for greenlighting this film, and it ended in them in a fist fight. So that's pretty great.
Wow.
Another thing here, let's see, let me pull down. George Lucas spent $2 million on Howard's duck suit, 8 different actors worked inside the costume. According to a 2009 DVD release, a child actor was intended to be the main Howard, but didn't work out. So another actor, Ed Gale, ended up performing most of the major scenes as Howard, earning a credit for the star of the film. There was a second consecutive financial failure for director Willard Huck, whose previous film, Best Defense, was also a box office flop. And yeah, that killed his career. So that was done. And also, shortly after the movie was released, Frank Price, who I just said got in that fist fight, quit his job at the head of Universal Pictures, the studio that funded the film. Variety reported the story with the headline, Duck Cooks Price's Goose. So, this is one of the more interesting ones that I don't know if it's true or not. In July 2021, actor Chip Zane, who voiced Howard, revealed in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter that for the film's 35th anniversary, that Robin Williams was originally cast for the role for Howard the Duck. But Williams quit after only a week out of frustration over syncing his voice to the duck's animatronic bill.
Wow.
An actor to voice Howard. Yeah, go ahead.
I can kind of see that because he talks so fast.
Yes, and the duck wouldn't work with how he would like deliver lines and everything. Yeah.
An actor
to voice Howard had not been cast yet during filming, so all of Howard's lines were read on set by the puppeteers, and the bill moved to fit their bland delivery. That made it impossible for Williams to use his wild, improvisational style in post-production because it didn't work with the bill movements. So the producers immediately called Zien, who had previously auditioned and told him he had the part, but he needed to fly to California that night. So apparently he told that story in a recent interview on The Hollywood Reporter in July 2021, which is interesting because this could have been. I'm really curious what a Robin Williams Howard the Duck movie would have been.
Look at Popeye. Yeah.
Yeah. I can hear it. I could definitely hear his voice in my head. But I completely understand why it didn't work out because, he's really fast. He ad-libs all the time, and it absolutely would not have worked out. But it would have been good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It also would have been wasted on him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would say too. I guess maybe if I was George Lucas and I thought I had Robin Williams tied to my movie, I guess I thought maybe it would have paid for my $50 million ranch. So
Robin Williams would have paid for that fucking ranch.
Yeah. So also Beverly, the other actresses that it could have been that were up for the role were Paula Abdul.
Sorry to interrupt real quick. Ryan, can you turn down the volume on your phone, please?
Oh, yeah. So sorry. I didn't realize it went up. My bad.
Yeah, it's just a lot of echoing. All right, go ahead.
So the role of Beverly could have been played by Paula Abdul, Kim Basinger, Jodie Benson, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Laurie Singer. They were all considered for the role of Beverly.
Wow. God, that's those are all really good.
Yeah,
but they were all not in Back to the Future, so of course, Leah Thompson.
Kim Basinger, that would have been different.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that one actually.
I mean,
this is another one. Again, I don't know how true some of these are. Jay Leno was up for the role of Phil.
Oh my God, I'm glad he didn't get it.
Yeah.
Tim Robbins was pretty good.
I think if Tim Robbins didn't get this, we wouldn't get the Tim Robbins we got today. Like, he's so successful because he did. Because if he was not in this movie, Jay Leno would have been in Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my God.
Easily.
You know, Tim Robbins was in a lot of really random movies in the 80s. Like, he was in a movie called Eric the Viking, where he played Eric the Viking. And, like, that was so random for him.
Definitely sounds pretty random.
It's something I've kind of wanted to cover on here. It's kind of like a Monty Python movie. It's got some Monty Python guys in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was written and directed by Terry Jones, who wrote and directed the Holy Grail. Tim Robbins. Yeah, he was in a lot of random comedies like Hudsucker Proxy. Way better than Jay Leno.
Because
he was a really good goofy guy back then.
Yeah, he was, but he also had some serious roles he did too.
Kind in the 80s?
Around. No, later.
Yeah.
I mean, he did come back later to do funny shit, like the Tenacious D Pick of Destiny movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was pretty great in that.
And the that one cameo he had in the first Anchorman.
Yeah.
No commercials. No mercy. just that's pretty much all he did was just that one line and then stand there with his pipe, just smoking his pipe.
You know, just thinking about it, he did star in a movie with Robin Williams in the early 90s. I believe it's called
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. I think it's called Cadillac Man.
Sounds oddly familiar, but I can't pick it up right now.
Yeah, Cadillac Man. He played Larry. I see it right here. I'm looking at his filmography right now, actually, for Tim Robbins. Yeah, Cadillac Man. 1990, exactly. Oh, and sweet. The one you're talking about, Eric the Viking, that was 89.
So 3 years after Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
We should... We're naming a lot of movies that should probably be covered on this podcast. I think Eric the Viking, for sure. I grew up on that one. When y'all were watching Howard the Duck, I was watching Eric the Viking. Either The Shadow or The Phantom or both.
Although I have to say, me and Ryan both, the schools we went to showed us Howard the Duck, not our parents.
Well, first my parent, then the school.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, there you go. Yeah.
We might keep the Tim Robbins thing going and do Eric the Viking next, and then go from there. Might do the Phantom, since you suggested that one.
Oh, Phantom is I love that movie. I have a special place in my heart for that movie.
I've only seen it once.
I used to watch it a lot when I was a kid.
Hearing you say you love the Phantom.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't believe you.
Dude, I watched that movie so much as a kid. That's why. It was one of those movies I think I found in the library. So when I was young, we did go to Blockbuster sometimes, but a lot of times my parents would bring me to the library. And it was a library in the East Bank where I live that would have movies. It would have like back then it was VHS tapes, right? And I want to say, if I remember correctly, The Phantom was one of those that I would grab and watch. And I just watched it because I just like superhero shit. And it was just, there wasn't a lot of live action superhero shit then. You know what I mean? So, that was one of those that was just, I liked it. It was cool for the time. I mean, when you look back at it now, oh, yeah, no. But... I still watch The Phantom. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, last time I watched it was halfway through before I had to pay for the fucking Shadow.
Yeah, no, well, sucks
to right,
be you.
All right, Ryan, I'll make it worth it for you. Cover it on the podcast.
Great. So I can only be halfway through the fucking episode before I have to leave.
How about this? We'll cover the Phantom for half the episode, and then the second half of the episode, we'll switch to the Shadow.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll cover half the Phantom and then the full Shadow. Right, there's no way my household will bid me to finish that movie.
If we do it that way, we just got to do it mid podcast. Just all of a sudden, all of a sudden shift to just the Shadow without any acknowledgement. Just in mid talk, we just start talking Alec Baldwin.
So it turns out this is not the movie we were thinking of. It turned out to be the Shadow.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Yeah, just so you know, some weird way the Phantom starts. Like, I forget if it starts there, but it's like somehow pirates in New York City are mixed up together. That's the Phantom.
Well, because it starts off like in the past, like in the beginning of where it originated, and then it fast forwards to, I want to say, Billy Zane on horseback.
Yeah,
being the Phantom.
It's the Phantom is just an odd thing because he's like a guy from the jungle who's like a protector of stuff, but somehow ends up in America doing shit, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, like he's on what is he on a ship, or he's in the jungle and pirates fuck up his shit, and then some tribe is just
you
like,
gotta make a lot of leaps in logic for the Phantom to work.
So the tribe in the jungle is just like, you just got fucked up by pirates. Here's a skull.
Yeah.
The and then fast forward the Phantom.
Yeah. That whenever we cover the Phantom, that'll be that, because getting into that would be a lot. let's go ahead and finish up here with Howard.
Well, before we go back to Howard, I did, something I was about to say was that, you know what the Phantom also reminds me of is Zorro.
Yeah, I mean the little face cover, I guess, but he's also all in purple. So
do you know they've all teamed up with each other?
Have they?
Yeah, they have.
Mm-hmm. Zorro, I believe it was Zorro, the Shadow, and the Phantom are defenders of, I think they're defenders of the realm or defenders of the universe or some shit like that.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of recent too, like in the 2000s sometime? Like, not super recent, but like, there was they were doing, because they did some newer comic runs on like the Shadow and stuff. I actually read a couple of them. I have a couple of them actually.
Some
of
the they did a team up with like the Shadow and Green Hornet. And Robot Chicken did a fucking skit with all three of them, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. I didn't think I watched the Robot Chicken thing on them. I do remember seeing the comics where they kind of mixed up all these like kind of offshoot comic book characters like Green Hornet, Phantom, everybody you named, Shadow, and all that stuff. A lot of those characters started though as like radio shows, like back in the 30s or something like that, right? Like, they were just like, and the Phantom comes, da da da, and like it was just radio shows.
Yeah,
like,
I think Zorro definitely was.
Zorro was. I know the Shadow was. In fact, you can actually find. Like on, I think there's like a podcast, like a RSS feed that has some of the early recordings from like the 30s of the Phantom.
Okay.
And not the Phantom, the Shadow. Sorry, the Shadow.
So there's a comic run of the 1942 League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which includes them against the Shadow, Rocketeer. God,
they're all the same. Rocketeer.
And Flash Gordon.
Nice.
Of course.
And they fight against the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Fuck yeah.
Why are they fighting? They're all good guys.
Because.
The Civil War.
It's the same thing with Batman fights Superman.
Don't you bring this back to Marvel. Don't you do it.
Dude, all right. So we need to see a big budget blockbuster movie. Of Civil War, but it's all those guys.
That would here be it is. Amazing. I'm signing up for that. I will buy a ticket. I will pre-order that ticket, and I will be in the theater by myself. But I will be there to watch that film.
Well, this would have never happened because Sean Connery would have never fucking did this.
He did the first League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, In fact, yeah, that's no way the last he would have did that
against fucking the Rocketeer and Alec Baldwin and Flash Gordon and Billy Zane.
Well, you know what? You got to give this to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. At least the movie had like way less rape than the actual comic did.
Because
in the actual comic, Dr. Jekyll rapes the Invisible Man.
Well, I mean, the only rape that happened with this movie is that if you saw it in theaters, you got raped out of your money for your AMC ticket.
It's true. That's another thing where, like, my parents, when I was a little older, so it wasn't as bad. But my parents, though, they're pretty Christian. And they're like, oh, he's in the comics. And they bought me this big book of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And I was like, oh, not realizing that it had all these fucking, like, some pretty fucked up shit.
it's like your parents is like, I'm taking you to see a movie, and it took you to see Pulp Fiction not knowing what it was.
Yeah, it's kind of that. But it was in a book called League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Still have the book, too. It's a big-ass fucking, like, kind of graphic novel. Nothing like the movie.
Oh, I'm sure. They never are.
And neither was Howard the Duck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well.
It all comes back around.
Let's go ahead and rate this thing. I don't know. I thought it was stupid.
Good night, week. Everybody.
yeah, definitely wasn't like a Phantom with a shadow. So yeah, it's pretty bad.
Seth, I fucking swear to God.
I appreciate the jokes that were made, but I'll give it a 5 quacks. 5 quacks. That's right. And if I could pair this up with another movie, what would it be? That's the question.
It's the New York Ripper. It's the answer for everybody. It's the New York Ripper. You go from this to the New York Ripper.
Yeah. This is what happens. Yeah, New York Ripper is what happens next. He just gets on a killing spree. that's what you said last week for that episode. Yeah, you paired New York Ripper with Howard the Duck. I'm going to say Eric the Viking because of Tim Robbins. Howard the Duck first, then Eric the Viking. And now I really want to revisit it. We're going to do it on this podcast. Nice. Seth, you go ahead.
Okay, so I'm actually, you know, I have been had the same number in my head that you said, so it's 5 used condoms, used duck condoms in my wallet. I'm at the same spot. Like, it's bare bones story. Like the absurdity and silliness and some of the comedy actually kind of works to where it lifts this up from like a 2 or 3 to like a 5. I think it's like that middle of the road. I mean, the way everything's shot and done, everything is fine. Some of the effects aren't even that terrible. Some are. But some are. The costume for the duck, too, is not terrible for like the time period. Like just Howard the Duck in that little like suit. You know, whatever. I appreciate him going for it in that way. So I don't hate it. So, yeah, I'm there at 5.
Okay, you know what would have been even funnier is if his condom was like a slinky.
would it be funny if his condom was a corkscrew?
Yeah, corkscrew, slinky, you know, the whole, you know, circular thing.
Yeah, that's what
you
mean. The slinky's just like a little circular.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like atomically accurate.
she like lifts it up and it just like slinks down and then it just like bounces down the stairs. All right, so you would pair this movie up with New York Ripper?
No, actually, I don't know why, but the movie that popped in my head when you first asked this question just now was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So I guess I'd watch it.
Ah, yeah,
And then that's the other Donald the Duck who actually says the N-word.
Yeah, in the movie, Donald the Duck is in it. And it's people, human beings, fucking cartoons.
Yeah, yeah. So it just kind of like fits along those themes. So
playing patty cake.
It's true.
Have you seen Cool World?
Yes, I have. I think we covered it.
With Kim Basinger?
Yeah, with Kim Basinger. I don't think we have covered it.
We definitely covered it. We did an episode, but not like in the recent iteration of your podcast. Maybe it wasn't you. I did it with some. I recorded an episode about Cool World somewhere. I'm pretty certain it was with you. Maybe in a different different time period of the podcast. But you might have fell asleep during that one. But we definitely did do Cool World. I remember, at least me and Brian. I know we did Cool. Maybe not Ryan. I think you, Ian. But I've watched Cool World. It's pretty.
Well, that's the real cartoon fucking.
It's true. That is the real
I mean, it did come with a video game as well.
Yeah, it did. All right, Ryan. What about you? What's your rating?
Well, after my third time seeing this movie in my fucking lifetime, because I've seen it in like three different periods, I didn't hate it and I didn't love it. So I was going to give it a 6, but then I realized I had to fucking watch this on Tubi. So I took a point off. But then I remember saw my wife shock and awe that Leah Thompson was going to fuck that duck. So I'm giving it 2 more points. So I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a 7. I'll give it 7 awards. I would give Leah Thompson for convincing me that I should have been that duck.
You did a whole 180 on Tubi. I don't understand. You used to praise it.
Well, how would a duck, it'll change you.
Hey, when Tubi gets rid of their fucking ads, and then I'll do a 180 with Tubi.
But you did.
Tubi didn't have ads at the time.
Tubi's always had ads. It always
did. It always had ads, dude. Tubi's always had ads. It's always been a free service that had ads.
Not that I remember.
I think it's gotten worse with the ad interruptions. I'll say that. But it's always had ads.
Yeah. What movie would you pair this up with in a double feature?
Oh, easily. So first I would watch this movie. Then the second movie I would watch is The Phantom Halfway and then The Shadow in its full form.
In fact, you did do that.
I know. I would do it again.
So in which order?
First Howard the Duck, then The Phantom Halfway, then The Shadow.
Okay.
The Shadow knows.
All right,
but you also have to watch it while your face is leaned back in the shadows. So like the shadows have to cover the top portion of your face while watching this movie the whole time. So if you're going to do that and you're going to tie in The Phantom and the Shadow with your Howard the Duck watch, you also have to literally be partially in the shadows.
With the Phantom, while wearing the Phantom ring.
Yes, that too. And you got to take a taxi home.
Do not tell me how to live my life.
Not an Uber. Not a Lyft. A taxi.
A souped up fucking taxi.
Dude, that's like his Batmobile. He's literally a dude who's like the servitude to him and drives a taxi around. That's his Batmobile. Yeah, like that's how he gets around town. There's these people that he saves and they
invest their life to him.
One of them is a taxi driver who literally will stop at everything to give him a taxi ride around town. And that's how he gets around.
It's like It kind of takes from the just like the Green Hornet, where the Green Hornet never used to drive anywhere himself. He always had a chauffeur do it for him.
Yeah, but this one does it even more, where it's just this dude with the family who has a taxi.
Like Deadpool
stops at nothing. Yeah, it is. Deadpool stole it from them. Yeah, It is kind of that. But yeah, that's the Shadow. Yeah, he like people are indebted to him for him saving their lives, so he just has like spies and shit all over the city. It's kind of how he does shit. If he saves you, you owe him.
That's great.
He's the only superhero that's like, yeah, save your life. Now you fucking owe me. If you hear somebody talking about Nazis, you fucking tell me. You tell me right now. I mean, it's like completely bad because you're still fighting bad guys, right? But it's like, yeah, no, it's servitude to you for this.
It's fucking great. All right, I'll wrap up this episode of Maybe So Bad They're Good, Midnight Cool Classics in Camp with Howard the Duck.
Flash the Phantom, Slash the Shadow.
Slash League of
Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah, Slash League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. All those were slightly covered.
That would be tough. That's what we do. We always do that on this. We just start like talking about something else.
It's not true. You should just let it go. Have the conversation. As long as we get back to Howard the Duck or whatever the topic is, it's fine. Hey, we dropped some real facts. We talked about the origin of the comics. They got information. Mm-hmm. If you listen, you learn something. You son of a bitch.
Exactly. All right. Well, it was fun, guys. Thanks for joining again. Yet again. And we'll see you all in the next one.
Well, we won't see you. You'll just hear our voices, and maybe you'll tell us that you heard us.
Which they won't do.
And if you do listen to me, you're in debt to me for the rest of your life. And if I need information or a ride to the taco stand, you have to give it to me now.
Oh my God, he's coming with a fucking shadow.
Be warned if you listen to this podcast.
I want to see his chauffeur just be like, I can't do it. Like, I can't keep doing this. And you're like, I saved your life. And he just guilt trips.
One of these days, that guy's going to hand back the ring he got from the Cracker Jack box.
He doesn't have to necessarily guilt you. He could just mind control you because he's the fucking shadow. It's a lot worse.